pleasure for me to be here this afternoon with you. When I received the literature for the particular convention, to be candid, I was somewhat confused as to what my role was in terms of the type of shiur to give. It was one which I was told was supposed to center on certain methodology, and I'll attempt to do so mostly by example of a few topics of halachic interest and to see the methodology itself at work. A few important comments to keep in mind. The Ramban writes in his very beginning as an introduction to Chumash that Yesh lanu Kabbalah shel emes shekol haTorah kula shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban writes that the Torah for us really is the representation that we have of Shem Hashem. The Ramban writes that al pi Kabbalah, that if you can take all the letters of the Sefer Torah and you would know the proper configuration, it would spell out in a certain sequence all the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban writes that lest you think that this is simply Divrei Kabbalah, the Ramban writes it's for this reason, that if a Sefer Torah is missing or an addition of any single letter, the Sefer Torah is considered to be invalid, because it doesn't correspond, as the Ramban writes, to Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an important idea that we always keep in mind whenever we give shiurim, that sense that our job is really to disseminate the Dvar Hashem. This is what the Gemara tells us in the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, that Minayin She'echad She'yoshev Alomei Shashchinima, that how do we know if a person sits, simply engages in learning himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and joins him. The Gemara calls the pasuk of Sefer Shmos and Perachav, of Kol Makom Asher Azkir Ashmi, Avoy Lecha Uveraticha. Whenever you mention my name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I come and I accompany you. And Limud HaTorah is considered to be that invocation of the Shem Hashem. And perhaps the best proof that you have is what the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph, but how do we know an obligation that we have that the Ramban writes in Sefer HaMitzvos is a mitzvah min HaTorah of reciting Birchas HaTorah? That before a person engages in Talmud Torah, an obligation to recite a bracha, the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havogod Elokeinu. Before you call out the Shem Hashem, you're obligated to ascribe greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that Limud HaTorah is considered to be the Shem Hashem Shmoser Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rav once pointed out that the Gemara has a similar drasha when it comes to the Kohen Gadol. When on Yom HaKippurim the Kohen Gadol says the Shem HaMforash, we're obligated to respond and say Baruch Shem Kavod. That's a Din D'oraisa, clearly. So how can the Gemara use the same pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra for Talmud Torah and for Birchas HaTorah? So the Rav Zecher Tzadok Levrach pointed out that the single halacha, the Shem Hashem requires Shevach V'Hodah. Shem Hashem is when you say a Shem HaMforash, and Shem Hashem is also when a person is Oseik B'Torah. That is Kishem Hashem Ekra. It's an awesome responsibility that we have. That is that if it is our job to disseminate the Dvar Hashem, there can't be any simple disclaimer, but it means that we have to do so in a very effective and meaningful way. The Rav would often point out that when we say Berachas HaTorah and Tosus writes a single bracha, we're obligated to include Vaharevna. You have to make sure the Divrei Torah that we say are not only Mechudad and Beficha, something which is fluent in our mouth, as the Gemara says in Kedushin, but is something that is sweet. And make sure not only the substance, but the presentation of that which we have to offer is something which is appealing as well as meaningful al-Pidin. A further comment that the Rav would often mention, and that is when it comes to the obligation that we have of Talmud Torah, it's supposed to be as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taught us. The Gemara, for example, has the drasha of Ma'afu Bechinam, Abata Bechinam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Torah and taught Moshe Rabbeinu Torah, and in that manner we're obligated to disseminate his work. And certainly the Rav would often comment that Mamad Har Sinai was not the cut and dry dissemination that you had of Torah, but rather it was an entire awesome process accompanied by Kolos, Uvrokim, Lapidim, and Eish. It was an experience. And part of our role that we have as Rabbanim and Mechanchim is to make sure to emulate as best as we can that sense, not only to convey substance, but to be able to go ahead and convey it in such a way where clearly it is part of ourselves. And of course, I hope the purpose of my talk is not to find shortcuts. Because if anything, what we all know from our times of learning in the yeshiva is that there is no substitute for proper and thorough methodology and proper preparation that you have. One of the things that the Rav would often tell us is whenever you're learning, you have so many different facts, it's important to always center around the principle, to try to find the klalim that underlie the particular halacha. And that is what the Rav would always do with us. Whenever there was a machlokas, to be able to provide the background, the point of agreement, the point of disagreement that you have. Always to find the analytic principle behind the very basis of the halacha. And this, as we'll see with a few examples that I'll mention, is something which is so very crucial. Rav once told the story of a conversation between the Beis Halevi in Reb Chaim, that the Beis Halevi once said to Reb Chaim that, you know, when someone comes and asks a kasha to myself, the Beis Halevi, and I give him a teretz, that everyone is satisfied. The Makshin leaves with a wonderful feeling that he asked a good kasha, and I leave with the satisfaction that I provided a sufficiently good teretz. When they ask you, Reb Chaim, a kasha, they leave with a sense of almost anguish that the kasha really was not a kasha, and therefore the teretz really was unnecessary. Because the derech and methodology of Reb Chaim was very much to analyze the Korah Balacha to the extent that you see that the premise of the kasha really was distinct. The two sukkahs that you attempted to put together, in fact, were not. And therefore the kasha may kor is considered to be kamandal esadami. In Brisk always, the great emphasis was placed not only on the teresh, but the proper formulation of the kasha itself, because the kasha very often is considered to be half the job in order to accommodate the teresh. And as we'll see with a few examples that I'll mention, how important it is to always try to see the underlying principle that you have. Another motivating factor that I've always found personally in giving shiurim is the comment that Tosefta has in the 7th parak of Sanhedrin, where the Tosefta writes that kol ha-Torah kula inyan echad. All of Torah really is considered to be one elaborate theme. Sometimes when we learn areas of halacha, and especially with balabatim, we have the impression that there's so many disjointed facts that we have of halacha. And really it's so not true. It's considered to be one halacha that you have of kol ha-Torah kula. This is the whole source that you have of the midah of a binyan av. This is the concept you have of a mematzina. The Torah tells us, atzei shitim omdim, that the krashim of the Mishkan had to be placed the way that they grow. And the Gemara in Sukkah assumes that Rav Pashat, if it's true of Mishkan, so too it's true of Lulav and Esrog, that you have to hold the Dalad Minim Kedera Kedilasa. What's the connection between the Mishkan and Lulav and Esrog? An underlying assumption that the Gemara has very simply, that Torah Kolakul is considered to be inyan echad. It's one theme. And unless you know that this is an exception, we always assume that it is all interwoven to form a single unit that you have. This is what Tosus points out in Yevamos and Dav Zayin, that the Gemara says, Chidish lo garminan. If something is a novel idea, so therefore it's in a category by itself. And you can't use it for purposes of limud to interplay a different halacha. Tosus writes, what's the definition of Chidish? Tosus comments, a dava hasoser esaklal. A Chidish is not a novel idea. Everything in the Torah is novel. No, it means it's something that contradicts that which we learn elsewhere. Why does the Gemara call Edom Zomin a Chiddush? Because normally when you have two witnesses contradict others, you throw out all four witnesses. Here the Torah tells you that is not the case. Here you believe the second over the first. That's why it's considered in fact to be a Chiddush. It's important always to keep in mind in terms of the Shiurim to show the beauty that you have of the corpus of Torah as one single unit, and to take distinct halacha and try to demonstrate the breadth that you have in the beauty of kol ha-Torah kula. Let me begin with an example that you have relating to Shabbos, relating to Chanukah, and that is the mitzvah you have at halakas and eros of Shabbos, halakas and eros on Chanukah, show the interplay and the klolim that can be derived from this. You can start very simply with a detail. Let me work a little bit backwards to show you the breadth of an approach. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Nafchaf Aleph Mabez, we're all familiar with it. Mitzvasa mishetishka achama, hachetik l'regel benashuk. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins at shkia sachama, machlokes between the Rambam and the Mordechai, whether it's shkia, in fact, whether it is tzeis, and it extends, hachetik l'regel benashuk. The candle should burn until no one is found in the street. After all, the purpose of the mitzvah is pursuing Isa, and as long as there are people outside, it's important the candle should be burning in order that they can perceive the zecher that we have from the Nes of Chanukah. What exactly does that mean? Mitzvasa mishetishke achama ad shetich l'regel menashek. So the Rambam writes in Perek Dal of Hilchos Chanukah the following, that the earliest time one can light the Ner Chanukah is mishetishke achama. If a person will go ahead and light the Chanukah a moment earlier, you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all. If shkia, according to the Rambam Shita, 6 o'clock, if you light it 5 to 6, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba comments, the Gemara doesn't say that the Maisa Hadlokah has to be Mishatishka Chama Shetich L'Rega Menashot. But rather the Gemara says simply, Mitzvasa. When do you fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah? And therefore the Rashba writes that one is allowed to be Madlik the Ner Chanukah even before Shkia, as long as the candles continue to burn Mishatishka Chama Ad Shetich L'Rega Menashot. So therefore you fulfill the mitzvah. So according to Rashba, one can certainly light the Ner Chanukah before Shkia. If it would go out immediately, you wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. If it would continue to burn, Mishatishka Achama, Shatishka Regam Rashot, then certainly the mitzvah is fulfilled. That's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rashba raises two kashas. One kasha the Rashba says is Maishna Mi Shabbos. Why should Ner Chanukah be any different than Hadlokas Neres when it comes to Shabbos? The Rashba points out, after all, when it comes to the Shabbos candles, it's clear from the Gemara that they have to be burning during Shabbos itself, but yet the Maisa Hadlaka certainly is before then, so just as when it comes to Shabbos, the Maisa Hadlaka need not necessarily be at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the same thing is true when it comes to Ner Chanukah as well. The Hadlaka can be before, as long as the candles continue to burn during that time, that is sufficient. The Rashba then asks the second kasha, that what will the Rambam do with Shabbos Chanukah? When are you going to be Madlik the Neros? After Shkia? Certainly not. So just as on Shabbos Chanukah, the Maisa Hadlaka can be before the Kiyum HaMitzvah, so too this is true not only of that exception of Shabbos Chanukah, but it's true of each and every day of Chanukah, that the Maisa Hadlaka can certainly be before Shkia as long as the candles continue to burn at the appropriate time. So what are the underpinnings that you have of this halacha? What exactly is the basis of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba? You have to understand a little bit more clearly what is the mitzvah of Hadlakas Haneros. So the Brisker Rav points out that if you look in the Rambam, you see clearly. The Rambam tells us there are four different mitzvahs that we have on Shabbos. Understanding each of them will help resolve this machlokas. The Rambam begins Parak Lamnet Hilchos Shabbos by telling us that Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos. Four different halachas that you have on Shabbos. Two of them are found in the Chumash proper. The mitzvahs that you have of Zochar Shema Shabbos L'Kadsha and Shomer Shema Shabbos L'Kadsha. Then the Rambam writes, there are two additional halachas that you find not found in the Torah proper, but rather V'heim Mufurashin Ayidei HaNaviyim. That's what the Rambam writes in Perek Lamed. The mitzvahs, of course, that you have of Kavod and Oneg. The Rambam cites the pasuk that you have in Yeshayim Perek Nunches, V'karasu L'Shabbos Oneg L'Kadosh Hashem Mechubad. What exactly is the mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg? It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik often comments that when it comes to normally Dinim Derabanan, the Rambam writes Shetiknu Chachamim. That's what the Rambam writes when it comes, for example, to Ner Chanukah. Here the Rambam writes V'heim Mefurashin Al Yedei HaNaviyim. That the mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg are not independent, but really they are part of the Kiyum in HaTorah of Zachar and Shamar. The purpose of our Shemir Shabbos is that Shabbos should be set aside from the rest of the days of the week. This is what the Rambam writes clearly in Hilchos Shabbos. Shabbos requires a shvisa hanikares, and therefore it's insufficient. The Rambam writes we just refrain from doing malacha, but also we have to address the very spirit of the day of Shabbos itself, and that's the mitzvah that we have of kavod and oneg. But what exactly is the difference between them? What falls in the category of kavod? What falls in the category of oneg? So the Vilna Gaon explains in the very end of Hilchos Yontif, in Siman Tavkuf Chavtes, the difference is the following. Oneg refers to that which one does on Shabbos itself. When a person, for example, has a Suda Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And what does Kavod refer to? Not that which one does on Shabbos to derive benefit and delight during the day of Shabbos itself, but the preparation which is necessary prior to Shabbos. When one, for example, cooks food for Shabbos, bathes for Shabbos, cleans the house for Shabbos, that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah that you have of Kavod Shabbos. A very novel idea, that we normally think of preparation for a mitzvah not as being an inherent part of the mitzvah itself, but we usually consider preparation of the mitzvah to be simply a hechsher mitzvah. Sometimes that's true, but there are times where the Torah not only emphasizes performance of the mitzvah, but the Torah also emphasizes the necessary preparation involved in doing a mitzvah. There are many examples of this. There's a beautiful piece that the Netziv has. It's found in the Shiltos and Shilta Aleph, the very first page of the Shiltos. The Netziv discusses it very briefly, in a great length in the Shiltos and Shilta Kuf Samachtes. Because the Netziv is bothered by the following. Rav Chaigon writes, Mechayiv Inish Lemevat Mitalarasa Ulamesafa. One is obligated to construct the sukkah and to sit in the sukkah. So immediately the Netziv comments, sitting in the sukkah, I understand. But sukkah teishu shivas yamim. But a mitzvah of building a sukkah, where do you see that the construction of the sukkah itself is considered to be a mitzvah? We normally assume that that should be called a hechsher mitzvah. But yet, this is what the Shultos writes, there's a mitzvah of asiyas sukkah. If you look in Rashi and Matos and Daches, Rashi also writes, a mitzvah that you have of asiyas sukkah. So the Netziv points out a very beautiful distinction. Two different types of hechsher mitzvah that you find. there's a Hekshe Mitzvah HaTzuvah B'Kra, as opposed to a Hekshe Mitzvah She'eno T'zuvah B'Kra. If the Torah doesn't address preparation for a mitzvah, the Torah simply tells you to perform a mitzvah, well then any preparation that you do is certainly vital and necessary, but it's not an inherent part of the mitzvah itself. But yet, in certain cases, the Torah goes out of its way not only to give you a tzivui regarding the mitzvah itself, but also regarding the Hekshe Mitzvah. There the Netziv writes that the Torah endows the Hekshe Mitzvah with the quality of the mitzvah itself. Where do you see this is true? Examples that you have of a Hekshe Mitzvah which is ordained by the Chumash itself, not simply something that we derive intuitively. Well, one is when it comes to Sukkah. Here the Torah says, Kaka Sukkos, Tasa Lecha. Here the Gemara has the drasha Tasav Lomen Asli, a reference to construction of a Sukkah. When it comes to Tzitzis, the Torah doesn't only tell you we have to wear Tzitzis, the Torah says, the Yosalem Tzitzis. The Torah mentions Asiyasa Tzitzis. When it comes to Mezuzah, the Torah doesn't mention that you have to erect the mezuzah. The Torah says, "Uchisavtam," you have to write the mezuzah. Again, something that we normally assume is only a Hekshe Mitzvah. Many examples that you have. The Rosh writes, the mitzvah of marriage, of Kiddushin, Kikach Yishisha, is a Hekshe Mitzvah, Aksuva Bakra. The Ramban writes, in Sefer Mitzvos, the Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, when the Kohen wears Big Day Kahuna, the donning of Big Day Kahuna is not a mitzvah in and of itself, but rather it's a Hekshe Avodah, and therefore the Ramban Rai should not be counted in Sefer Mitzvot independently, but rather it's considered to be a Hekshe Mitzvah Tzuvah B'Kra. The Ramban writes when the Torah tells us throughout Sefer Shmos to construct all the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban writes it's all considered to be a Hekshe Mitzvah. What is the need to have a menorah? Because there's a mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeiros. So of course you have to go ahead and to construct a menorah. Interestingly, the Ramban writes there's one which he does count in Sefer Mitzvot, and that is the mitzvah of Asiyas Aron. Because Aron is the only one of the Klei HaMikdash that is not associated with a particular Avodah. So why does the Torah say the Asu Aron? There it must be a mitzvah, not simply just a Hekshe Avodah, Hekshe Mitzvah. But that's what the Medrash points out when it comes to all of the Klei HaMikdash. The Torah always writes the Asisa, that you collectively, Bnei Yisrael as a whole, is obligated to see to it that there are the Klei HaMikdash. When it comes to the Asiyas HaAron, here the Pasuk tells us the Asu Aron, the Lashon Rabbim, that the Asiyas HaAron has to be L'chol Echad V'Echad, each individual. That's what the Medrash Rabbah writes in the Pasuk, the Asu Aron, that Yavu Kulam V'Yasku B'Torah. Everyone has to participate in the Asiyas HaAron itself. These are examples that you have of a Hekshe Mitzvah HaTzuvah B'Kra. And this is the Netziv's Kiddush. If the Torah doesn't mention anything about the preparation, certainly it's necessary, but it's not endowed with qualities of the mitzvah itself. Whenever you have a case of a Hekshe Mitzvah HaTzuvah B'Kra, that is considered to be an inherent part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And what are the differences that you have in the Halacha? Well, the Yerushalmi writes, for example, in Perek Tes of Brachos, when a person, for example, acquires a shofar, when a person fabrics a shofar, in such a case, it is a Hekshe Mitzvah, but not written in Chumash at all. When a person makes a sukkah, makes tzitzis, writes a mezuzah, that's a Hekshe Mitzvah Tzuvah B'Kra, and you're obligated to recite a bracha. Yerushalmi writes, not only when you fulfill the mitzvah, but even on the Asiyas, the Hefzah Shom Mitzvah, on the Hekshe Mitzvah Tzuvah B'Kra. That's what Yerushalmi writes in Nedav Mesachas Brachas. The Gemara writes in Menachos Nath Membeis that we don't do this. Whenever we have a two-part mitzvah, a Hekshe Mitzvah and a Gemara Mitzvah, we always recite the bracha on Asiyasa, Gemara Mitzvah. So therefore, in principle, the Gemara says, we agree with that Chiddush of the Yerushalmi, that a Hekshe Mitzvah Ksuvah B'Kra is in fact endowed with the very status of a mitzvah. Except, it's not the culmination, the conclusion of the mitzvah, and therefore when it comes to a Birchas HaMitzvah, we always defer to the end, the clinching factor that you have of the mitzvah itself. But yes, there is such an obligation, the Hekshe Mitzvah Ksuvah B'Kra. In fact, that's what the Gemara writes in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav, that even though we don't recite a Birkas HaMitzvah, when it comes to Asiyas HaSukkah, the Gemara does write that Ha'osa Sukkah L'atzma Mevarach Lehazman. When a person goes ahead and constructs a sukkah, he can go ahead and recite a Shechiyanu on Asiyas HaSukkah. That's not true when it comes to shofar. If a person would go ahead and construct a shofar, he wouldn't be allowed to recite a Shechiyanu. But the Gemara says, even though we defer the Birchas HaMitzvah to the Gemara Mitzvah, so, nonetheless, the Shechiyanu that you recite can even apply on the Hekshe Mitzvah Asiyas HaSukkah HaKsuvah B'Kra. So a very important comment that the Ran and the Rush have in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav, that even that we don't do. Because the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem, that whenever a person recites a bracha of Shehecheyanu, ideally you should always recite it on a kosher bracha. So therefore, we wait until we make Kiddush, and we recite a Shehecheyanu on the Kedushas Hayom, and that Shehecheyanu is not only for the Kedushas Hayom, but that Shehecheyanu even incorporates the mitzvah of Sukkah as well, and therefore one Shehecheyanu that applies in all cases. But you know what the Rosh and the Ran write in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav? That's the hidden secret behind the switching of the order of brachos when it comes to the second night of Sukkot. That we know, of course, we observe a second day of Yom Tov because it's Sfeika D'Yoma. If it's really a Sfeika D'Yoma, so of course you have to recite a bracha of Shehecheyanu. That's what we do on Rosh Hashanah, for example. Even though Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara calls the Yom Arichta, the Gemara calls it, it's simply Kedush Achas, we still recite a Shehecheyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What do we do when it comes to the second day of Sukkot? So the prevalent practice is when it comes to the first night of Sukkot, of course, the Kiddush Leishei B'Sukkah Shehecheyanu, and then the second night, the prevalent practice is to switch the order of the brachos. Why do we switch the order of the brachos? It's as though we indicate that the Shehecheyanu only applies to the Kedushas Hayom, the fact that now it is Sukkot, but not to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Why is that true? If today really is Yom Tov, and yesterday was Chol, so therefore I should be obligated to recite a Shehecheyanu at this point. If I don't, why do I make one on Yom Tov? If I do, then why not incorporate Sukkah as well? And the difference is exactly this point. When it comes to Yom Tov, it's very clear, the Gemara writes in Erev and Daf Mem, the Shehecheyanu that you recite on Yom Tov must be only on Yom Tov itself. How can you say, V'giyanu lazman hazeh, if the Yom Tov has not yet begun? Shehecheyanu on Yom Tov can only be recited on Yom Tov. I often mention that this is very relevant in halacha when it comes to Kol Nidrei night. Because many women, for example, will bench lift at home, and they will have in mind explicitly not to accept upon themselves the fact that it is yet Yom Kippur, in order that they should go ahead and drive the shul. Right, the Mechaber writes in Reish Samach Gimel Baruch Hayim that if one states explicitly that they are not accepting upon themselves Shabbos, so therefore one is allowed to bench lift, having in mind that it's not yet Shabbos or not yet Yom Tov. As a rule of thumb, the Mechaber writes, we assume that women normally accept upon themselves Shabbos, Yom Tov, put halachas and eros. Men who light, normally as a rule of thumb, we assume, do not, because they light and they go to shul, to daven mincha. But the Mechaber writes, it need not necessarily be so. Women can go ahead and they can light the Ner Shabbos on Yom Tov, having in mind that it is not yet Shabbos, not yet Yom Tov. A common practice women have on Kol Nidrei night. They light at home, having in mind that it's not yet Yom Kippur, in order to be able to drive to shul. So two points I often make. The first is that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim that you have to begin Yom Kippur early. That's what the Gemara says in Yuman Daf Pe'alu. So therefore, women normally always fulfill that mitzvah because when they bench lift, they accept upon themselves the fact that now it's Shabbos, now it's Yom Tov. If under those circumstances, lighting without having in mind that it is Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then when they come to shul, they must now state that I am accepting upon myself in that case that it is now Yom Kippur. And the second caveat is that if you're lighting and having in mind that it is not yet Yom Tov, you cannot recite the bracha of Shehecheyanu. It's not yet Yom Tov. And the Gemara is in Erev and Daf Mem. Shehecheyanu on Yom Tov can only be recited on Yom Tov itself. So therefore we understand, if the second day we're calling really Yom Tov, and the first day is Chol, of course you have to go ahead and repeat the Shehecheyanu. But what's unique about the mitzvah of Sukkah? That there's a mitzvah of Asiyas HaSukkah. That means that the mitzvah of Sukkah begins to express itself even prior to Yom Tov. And if one would recite a Shehecheyanu prior to Yom Tov, so what Tosfos points out, you would not be required to repeat the Shehecheyanu on Sukkah on Yom Tov itself, because the bracha is already Chal beforehand. So therefore, even if the second night of Sukkot really is the beginning, the onset of Yom Tov, and yesterday was Chol, so you cannot fulfill the obligation with yesterday's Shehecheyanu on the Kedushas Hayom, but yet on the mitzvah of Sukkah, that in fact you can. That's how the Ran and the Rush explain the practice that we generally have of switching the order of brachos because of this hidden feature of the Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuv B'Kra. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that's not true, so we're obligated to recite a Shehecheyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah on Shofar, despite the fact that it's Kedush Achas, that it's Yom Arich Tadamiyah. But not when it comes to Sukkah because of the concept of Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuv B'Kra. That's what's unique when it comes to Sukkah or Tzitzis or Mezuzah. All these instances where the Torah underscores the Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuv B'Kra as well. In fact, the Netziv points out, another difference is the concept that you have of Mitzvah Bo Yosem Mibashlucha. When it comes to a mitzvah, that's certainly true. Even if I can fulfill the mitzvah ayde acherim, it's more of an enhanced fulfillment if I do it myself. What about when it comes to a heksher mitzvah? So here the Netziv points out that the Torah doesn't mention anything at all about the heksher mitzvah. All that really is important is the bottom line. Is it done or is it not? But if the Torah endows the heksher mitzvah as part of the mitzvah itself, so therefore we certainly apply the principle of mitzvah bo yosem eshlucha. The Gemara is in the very beginning, the second paragraph of Kedushin, that ha'ish mekadesh bo v'shlucha. Why bo v'shlucha? Because mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucha. The Rush writes that Kedushin is a heksher mitzvah, but yet a heksher mitzvah k'suva b'kra, where it is in fact mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucha. Mitzvah has several distinctions that you have l'halacha. Whether the principle of seik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah applies to a heksher mitzvah, or whether it doesn't, and others as well. But a very important concept, the difference between just a general heksher mitzvah as opposed to heksher mitzvah k'suva b'kra. Now why is this so important when it comes to Shabbos? Because that's the chiddush of the Navi Yeshaya, k'rasu l'Shabbos oneg v'kadosh Hashem mechubar, that kvod Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos itself, is considered to be a mitzvah. Certainly we all know that yes, of course, if one doesn't adequately prepare, how are you going to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos if you don't prepare in advance? That's certainly true. But yet, when the Navi Yeshaya tells us the Kedosh Hashem Mechubad, it endows Shabbos preparation with the status that you have of a Heksher Mitzvah Ksuva Bakra. That's what the Netziv points out, that even if a person is in a situation where he doesn't have to lift a finger to prepare for Shabbos, no, Mitzvah Bo Yosim B'Shlucho, one is obligated to do so. This is the status that you have of Heksher Mitzvah Ksuva Bakra. This concept, that Heksher Mitzvah Ksuva Bakra, and that is exactly the difference between Kavod and Oneg. Oneg is the mitzvah that we delight during the day of Shabbos itself. And kavod is the heksher mitzvah haksuv b'kra preparation. So this is very meduyuk in the Rambam. Because the Rambam describes in two places the halachos of kavod Shabbos and the halachos of oneg Shabbos. In Perakei Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam delineates the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. And in Perakei Lamed Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. And these are the examples that the Rambam gives. When a person goes ahead and has a Suda Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of Oneg. When one goes ahead and prepares for Shabbos, the Rambam writes, that's the mitzvah that you have of Kavod Shabbos. These are the two halachos of Kavod and Oneg that you have. Very meduyik in the Rambam. Where the Rambam writes in Perakei Hilchos Shabbos Oneg, in Perak Lamed halachos of Kavod, and if you look at the Rambam's examples, it's clear. The Rambam doesn't really categorize it conceptually, but the examples that the Rambam mentions fit in with what the Brisker Rav comments, the distinction between Kavod and Oneg, as the Gon mentions in Shulchan Aruch. Now, if you look at the list that the Rambam gives you, Perek Hayin and Perek Lamed, of Kavod and Oneg, there's one mitzvah that the Rambam writes in both Prakim, and that's the mitzvah of Hadlakas Aneiros. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. Hadlakas Aneiros on Shabbos is a double kiyum. It's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and also a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. Where do you see that it's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos? This is Mefurish in the Gemara. We read on every Lel Shabbos, those who are Minag Ashkenaz, the Mishnah and Shabbos Nach of Dal Mabez, Ein Madlikin Be'itron B'pnei Kavod HaShabbos. One is not allowed to go ahead and use a foul smelling residue, a resin that you have, in order to go ahead and use it for Ner Shabbos. What exactly is the problem with that? So Rava says in Shabbos Nach of Mabez, because Mitol Sherecho Ra, Shemiyani chen of Yetze. So Abaye says, so good, so the Yetze. So let him leave the room. Why does that bother us? So no, Rava says, Halakas Neros B'Shabbos, Chovihi. You're not allowed to leave the room. So Tosus explains in Shabbos Daf Chafeim Abayis, the mitzvah of Halakas Neros is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. The Korasu L'Shabbos Oneg. Oneg means that you have to derive benefit from the candles which are burning during Shabbos itself. So if you will go ahead and light candles in such a way that you won't derive any benefit from it, so you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas and Eros and the Tzabrach Levatola. That's Mefurish in the Gemara Shabbos, Nafchapeim Abayis. This is very Nogia L'Halach. In so many instances, especially when people go away to hotels for Shabbos and Yantif and so on, they light in a lich benching room, and then they leave the room. Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuvas, in Chela Gimel, in Simen Yadalit of Yaradeya, two problems. Problem number one is that they're not deriving any benefit from the candles during Shabbos himself. And problem number two, a separate issue is that their bais for Shabbos? Is that really their Shabbos home? Rav Moshe writes that really you can only light in your home, And if you are staying, for example, in a hotel where you have a private room and then you have a communal room, Rav Moshe writes that your home is your private area. Your room where you are sleeping, that is considered to be your room for Shabbos, and the halakhos and eros must be in that particular room. One problem, what is the definition of bayis? And the second is deriving benefit from the candles that are burning on Shabbos itself. Simplest states in the halakha under these conditions is to use an electric bowl in your private room and to make a bracha on that. You can certainly, according to the vast consensus of Poskim, this is what the Achiezer writes, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach assumed, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and many, many others. You can turn on the bathroom light, as long as it's an incandescent bulb, not a fluorescent bulb, and step out of the room and recite the bracha of the Halik Neshal Shabbos. That is your Shabbos candle that you have for Shabbos itself. And you can even fulfill the mitzvah when it comes to electric lights as well. If somehow it's difficult to suggest that Eitzah, what I often suggest is the following. Turn the light on in the room, then you can go downstairs quickly and light in the benching room, then recite the bracha, having in mind that everything is in Er Shabbos. Al-Kedin, really the bracha is being chal on the light that you turn on in the room. But at least there you have somewhat of the ambience that you are being madlik in Er Shabbos, and a bracha can be recited in that way. But it's important to derive benefit from the candles that are burning during Shabbos itself. Rav Soloveitchik very often would suggest if a person, let's say, is eating out on Shabbos, he's sleeping in his home, but he's eating out on Friday night, so therefore it's not an option to light where you're eating. The only time the Gemara writes an Erev that that's an option is like a yeshiva bachur, where he's sleeping in one area, and he always eats in another area, so that's the phrase the Gemara has at Machom Pito Gorim, where you eat is considered to be the main kviyas, that is your home. But if you're at home for Shabbos, and you're eating out just on Lel Shabbos, certainly your home is considered to be your bayis for Shabbos. So Soloveitchik often used to tell us the following Eitzah, that if that is the situation, you can't light where you're eating, light at home. What's the problem? That you will not be nana from the candles on Shabbos because hopefully if you're having an enjoyable Siddur Shabbos, by the time you get home, the candles already become extinguished. So turn on the electric light as well and light the Shabbos candles, make a bracha on everything, and everything will be called the Ner Shabbos. And as long as you come home and the Shabbos clock hasn't kicked off the electric light, that will be the Onik Shabbos, the Hana that you are deriving benefit from. And the Rav pointed out that in his home he made sure that they always incorporated the electric light. Because if the electric light is burning from before Shabbos, and now you go ahead and you light just the candles themselves, can you honestly say that the Hana that you're getting from the illumination on Shabbos is from the candles? The Gemara has the expression of Shraga Betira Mayahane. What use is a candle in broad daylight? So you have hundreds and hundreds of watts of electricity that are burning in the room, illuminating the room fully, and you have a few candles that are still burning. The real Hana that you are getting is from illumination of electric light. So Soloveitchik often used to comment that therefore before Shabbos, turn off the lights, then turn them back on and light the Shabbos candles, having in mind that everything is considered to be the Ner Shabbos. Because the mitzvah of hadlokas and eros that you have is really a mitzvah of oneg. And this is what the Gemara points out in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. That's why you can't use any type of oil that emits a foul odor, because you will not properly derive benefit from the candles burning on Shabbos itself. So that's clear from the Gemara. Hadlokas and eros on Shabbos is the mitzvah of oneg. Then the Rambam writes the further finish. Why is it that you light candles before Shabbos? Certainly it's true, but look, you have no choice. When you can light on Shabbos itself, so certainly Oneg dictates that you have to light before. So the Rambam argues that's certainly true, but that's not sufficient. The reason that you are madlik the Ner Shabbos earlier is because the Hadlakas Neros of Shabbos have two halachos, a mitzvah that you have of Kavod as well as the mitzvah of Oneg. As far as Oneg is concerned, you're right. All that's necessary is the candles burning during Shabbos itself. And the fact that you light before is because simply you don't have any option. But once we understand that there's a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, and that means this is the Heksha Mitzvah HaTzuva B'Kra, so therefore in such a case, when we light early, we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So therefore, when women bench lift early, it's not simply that they are lighting now because the mitzvah they have yet to fulfill during the Oneg Shabbos, but two different halachas. The halacha of Kavod as well as the halacha that you have of Oneg Shabbos. An important difference for halacha. What about when it comes to Yontif? On Yontif, you're allowed to go ahead and to extend a flame. So if the only kim of Hadlakas Neros and Yontif would be the mitzvah of Oneg, so therefore you can go ahead and extend the candle on Yontif itself. But once you assume that part of the mitzvah neros is not only oneg but kavod as well, so the Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Yontif that kishem shechayav nechabe Shabbos la'ongo, just like kavod and yontif, kavod and oneg applies on Shabbos, k'molchein b'chol yomim tovin applies on yontif as well. If it's because of the kiyum of kavod yontif, then you're obligated to be madlik mibal yom even on yontif itself. This is what Rav Yitzchak Petzeberger writes in Siman Vav of the Pre Yitzchak. And interesting, if you look in the Hakdama to the tour on Yerodea, so there's a Hakdama which is written by the son of the Drisha. So this is the Chiddush that he quotes the name of his mother, the wife of the Drisha. He writes that my mother was very adamant based on the Rambam Shita, the two halachos of Kavod and Oneg, and therefore you have to be madlik mibod yom, even when it comes to Yantif as well. Because it's not simply on Shabbos you have no choice. That is the time of the Hadlaka because of the mitzvah that you have of Kavod. Of course, we in Chutz Lorets are in somewhat of a bind when it comes to the second day of Yantif. Because the second day of Yantif, you can light early, so then you're doing Hachana on Yantif Rishon, on Malacha Daraisa for Yantif Sheni. That you have no choice. See, Tosus points out in Beitza, in the time of the Gemara, and even the time of the Balia Tosus, it wasn't such a problem. Because they needed the light for Yantif Rishon. It was getting dark. They needed the light in any case. So it was very common on Yantif for them to go ahead and to extend the flame late in the afternoon on Yantif Rishon. So Tosus writes, once they were already being madlik with Tzorech Yantif Rishon, they could go ahead and make a bracha that it should be also covered for Yantif Sheni. But for us, who generally are only lighting for the purpose of the mitzvah, so now we have to wait until Pesach HaKavim to be madlik for Yantif Sheni. But not necessarily for Yantif Rishon. This is the common practice that the Priyatzok suggests, that on Yantif Rishon, women should certainly go ahead and bench lift early, because that's the mitzvah that you have of covered Yantif. Mashenk, when it comes to Yantif Sheni, you can't be machmir on covered Yantif at the expense of Yantif Rishon, and therefore you have no choice that kiyum hadlaka is only one of oneg, not one of kavod. In fact, Yushami writes that the bracha that you make when you bench lift is the hadlik ner lichvod Shabbos. It's a bracha that you recite on kavod Shabbos. And we recite the generic bracha of the hadlik ner shel Shabbos in order to demonstrate, according to the Rambam, the two kiyumim. On the one hand, a mitzvah of kavod, on the other hand, the mitzvah that you have of oneg. That's how the Rambam understands the conceptual underpinning that you have of halakas and eras. Two halakos, a mitzvah of kavod and a mitzvah of oneg. Oneg, the need to derive benefit on Shabbos itself. Kavod, the need to go ahead and light earlier as a heksha mitzvah tzuva b'kra. And even though normally you don't recite a brach on a heksha mitzvah tzuva b'kra, like asiyas tzitzis or like asiyas asukkah, like all those other cases enumerated, that's because we can recite a brach on the gemar mitzvah. The difficulty with halakas and eros is the heksher mitzvah tzuv b'kra, there is a concrete maisa ha-mitzvah. There's a halakha that you're doing. When it comes there to the gemar mitzvah, simply enjoying the ambience of the eros, there you can't recite a bracha on that abstract oneg that you have, and therefore we recite the bracha on the heksher mitzvah tzuv b'kra. That's how the Rambam understands the mitzvah that you have of kavod and oneg. So that's the chiddush. That even though Tosfos points out in Shabbos that Chafeda, Halakas Neros is the mitzvah of Oneg, and that's what's clear from the Gemara, the Rambam writes that really, two halachas. A mitzvah that you have of Oneg, but also a heksha mitzvah, ksuva b'kra, that you have of Kavod as well. See, once you understand the background that you have of how the Rambam viewed the mitzvah of Halakas Neros, so now certainly you understand what it is that the Rambam argues when it comes to Ner Chanukah. The Rambam writes, Mishetishka Chama Shetichle Regamanashot. The earliest time you can go ahead and light the Hanukkah candles is at Shkia. And if you light a minute before Shkia, you don't fulfill the mitzvah whatsoever. So the Rashba says, who says that that's the case? All the Gemara writes is that's when you fulfill the mitzvah. But of course the Maisa Hadlaka can be before the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Maharaya, Maishnami Shabbos. Yes, so now according to Ram, you understand it very well. According to the Rashba's Tosfos assumes, Shabbos is part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And if all Hadlakas Neros has is the mitzvah of Oneg, then when are you doing the Maisa Hadlaka? Prior to the Kiyum HaMitzvah? So therefore Shabbos serves as an example of the Maisa Hadlaka being before the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But according to the Rambam Shita, that no, there are two halakos that you have in Hadlakas Neros. There's the mitzvah of Oneg, but there's also mitzvah of Kavod. And as the Rambam insists, not only on Shabbos, but even on Yantif as well. So then when you go ahead and you light the Neros prior to Shabbos, that's not an example of a Maisa Hadlaka which is before the Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's the Chiddush of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. There, the Maisa Hadlaka is at the time of the mitzvah that you have of Likadosh HaShem HaChuban. There's a mitzvah of Kavod on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of kavod that we have on Yom Tov. There's no mitzvah of kavod when it comes to Hanukkah. There the Gemara says, certainly the key mitzvah is limited to the particular day of Hanukkah after Shkia. So therefore the Rambam, yes, is perfectly consistent, that the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah can only be at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but the crucial question is, when does the Kiyum HaMitzvah begin? Like, does it begin La'achar Shkia? That's true when it comes to Hanukkah. When it comes to Halakas Neros HaShabbos, it begins before, because the notion that you have of the Hekshar Mitzvah HaKesuvah B'Kra. Even furthermore, what about the second kasha that the Rashba argues? What is the Rambam going to do with Shabbos Hanukkah? So good. On Shabbos Hanukkah, you have no choice. The Rambam is not going to tell you to light after Shkia. Of course you have to light before Shkia. So doesn't that demonstrate, the Rashba says, that the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah does not need necessarily be at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah? And therefore, if it's true on Shabbos Hanukkah, maybe it's true when it comes to all the days of Hanukkah as well. So the very first sugi that you have, right, that deals with Ner Hanukkah and Daf Chaf Aleph, is a sugi referred to as Kavsa. What happens if a person goes ahead and lights the Ner Hanukkah, and afterwards it becomes extinguished? Zakukah or Enu Zakukah? Do you fulfill the mitzvah by virtue of the fact that you lit a candle that should have burned for a longer duration of time? Or do you assume that's not true? So technically speaking, we certainly assume that Allah that Kavsa Enu Zakukah. If a person lights a proper Ner Hanukkah, and the anticipation was that it should have burned for the proper duration of time, and all of a sudden now it goes out, so Enu Zakukah means that he doesn't have to relight. He's already fulfilled the mitzvah. The Beis Halevi writes, as a chumra, a person should relight Mishomar Esayim. It's no different than the sugi that you have in Shabbos of Mishi Yeshlo Shnei Tzachim. If a person has a front door and a back door, so light at both doors that people can see that at least there's a nail which is burning in your window. So therefore, if it becomes extinguished, technically you'll say, but relight without a bracha because of the issue of Mar Esayim. But that's to be a similar halacha. If you light a proper Ner Hanukkah, if you just light a match and it lasts for a moment, you're not Yotzei. If you light a proper Ner Hanukkah and the anticipation was it should have burned properly, but it doesn't, it goes out. So therefore we assume that Kavsa, Eino Zakukla, you don't have to go ahead and relight, you don't relight with a bracha. Let's say according to the Rashba. The Rashba writes that the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah can be even before Shkia. As long as the candle continues to burn, Mishatishka Achama, the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah can be before. The Kiyum HaMitzvah, of course, right, is Mishatishka Achama. Let's say a person would light, if Shkia is at 6 o'clock, a person light at 5:30. And it goes out a few minutes afterwards. And it didn't even burn after Shkia Achama, Shetichla Rega Menashuk. So no one would say, Kavsein Ozakukla. The Rashba says, if you light before Shkia, the only time you're Yotzei, is if at least if it burned during the proper Zman of Mishatishka Hama Shatitha Regam Nashuk. If you lit at the proper time and then it became extinguished, of course. So in such a case, then you're Yotzei. If you lit prior to the Kiyum HaMitzvah, that certainly wouldn't be true. Clear in Shulchan Aruch, Tafei Shayim Gimel, that if you light before Shkia and now it becomes extinguished, you're certainly not Yotzei. But if you look, the Mechaber writes the following Chiddush. And that's him in Tafei Shayim Gimel, the Mechaber writes this. And Shabbos Shkia is at 6 o'clock. You light at 5:30, and then the candle becomes extinguished, and the Chabar writes that Kavsa Eino Zakukah. You don't have to relight. So what do you see from the Chiddush of the Mechaber? See, this is the difficulty, according to the Rambam Shita. The Rambam always assumed that the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah has to be exactly at the moment of the Kiyum Mitzvah. V'haraya, on a regular night of Hanukkah, if you light before Shkia, you're not Yotzei. V'haray, that the only reason that we light early on Shabbos as we do on Yom Tov because of the mitzvah of Kavod. So what is the Rambam going to do with Shabbos Hanukkah? So you see, there are two possibilities. The Rashba is clearly assuming that what do you see from Shabbos Hanukkah? That the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah need not necessarily be at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. No, but according to them, that's impossible. The Rambam consistently argues the Ma'aseh HaHadlakah must be at that particular time. So what, therefore, was the takana of hadlaka saneros on Shabbos Hanukkah? Not that the hadlaka can precede the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but rather the Kiyum HaMitzvah begins earlier after Plag HaMincha. That's how the Rambam understood the Chiddush of Shabbos Hanukkah. Not that the Kiyum Mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah begins l'achar Shkia, and you're lighting before the Mitzvah begins. No, but rather that the Zman hadlaka of Shabbos Hanukkah is not l'achar Shatishka Chama, but rather it's after Plag HaMincha. And what's the clear raya that you have according to the Rambam? That Kavsa Eino Zakukla. If you were to light any other time after Pagah Mincha would go out, certainly you don't fulfill the mitzvah. But here the Mechaber writes, if you light before Shkia and the Ner becomes extinguished on Shabbos Hanukkah, even though you were not yet Mekabel Shabbos, you already fulfilled the mitzvah. If you assume Kafsa, Eino Zakukah Kli, that means you already fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Rambam then is perfectly consistent in all three cases. But according to the Rambam Shita, the Maisa Adlaka can only be at the time of the Kiyum Mitzvah. But the crucial question is, when does the Kiyum Mitzvah begin? So when it comes to a regular day of